I'll tell you what, nothing makes you not want to trip more badly than pomp and circumstance. You know what I'm saying? Whoo, pressure. Hey, it is graduation Sunday, but I do want to just put a quick plug in. Guys, if you can be here tonight at 5 o'clock, please come. You don't have to throw a cornhole. You don't even have to eat some of the 20 pounds of sausage that Scott has grilled. It's going to be amazing with his gross onions and peppers and stuff. But just come, because we want to share a little bit about the vision of what we're going to be doing this summer as a group of men and some of the cool things God has in store, I think, and connecting and having some fun. So please don't miss it. We'd really love for you to be there. In fact, if you're a recent graduate, you're invited to come. If you're a dude who walked across the stage, just saying, you're in the group now. You're old. Awesome stuff. Because we have some cool, very intellectual folks with us this morning. We're going to have some fun on this graduation Sunday. And I got to bump this over just a little bit because not at an open house, unless you want to go to Ty's house perhaps, I don't know. But Ty is wrapping up his high school career here as well this year. So we got five different people that are moving from this high school musical stage of life to whatever the next musical is. Zach, do they have like a mechanics musical? We need to make one. You know what I mean? Like just a bunch of mechanics breaking into song at this stage of life. Nobody does that for guys getting into the workforce. You know what I mean? Come on. You guys late. There's a market, yes. Just kidding. No guys are going to. Sorry, I'm just envisioning tonight turning into a musical. But please come, guys. It's going to be great. We're not doing that. Hey, if I could have the five people on that screen, Allison and Nate, Mackenzie, I don't know who's Mackenzie. Oh, there she's hiding. Yep. Caleb, Ty, come on up here on the platform if you would just a second. Please come join us. Just come right on up here and I'm going to hand that to you. Just scoot right over here, buddy. This is perfect. So as I understand it, none of you guys had a chance to make a valedictorian speech. So this is like that moment, the impromptu. Oh, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. I did promise that I would not do anything embarrassing or weird, you know, awkward. But I had my fingers crossed behind. I'm just kidding. But then you guys knew it was White Rock and you knew that was going to happen either way, I can tell, right? So here's the cool part. You guys don't have to learn anything ever again. How great is that, huh? Just kidding. Not true at all, right? God calls us to have a teachable spirit. So you guys are just getting started at now being responsible for all your own choices. Legally, right? Okay, some version of that. So why don't you just, this is Ty, if you guys don't know, and Ty is currently rocking some amazing asphalt, crushing it on an asphalt team. He's like, you know what, forget the college debt, let's just go make some money. I'm not saying that's a bad move. And then Mackenzie is getting ready. I tell you what, why don't you tell everybody who you're working for, what you're doing real quick. This would be fun. Go ahead.
I work for Everline, and I'm in an asphalt company.
There you go, and I kind of spoiled it for sure. My bad on that one. Okay, so Mackenzie, tell us kind of what your plans are, because I can't say the words.
Oh, like my major?
Yeah.
I'm going to major in communication sciences and disorders.
Wait, there was a weird word, though, for the...
Oh, audiologist.
Because it does make me sound pretty bad. I can't say those words, communication and science. They're really hard words for me. Way to set me up. That was well done. What's that one word?
Audiologist.
One more time, nice and slow.
Audiologist.
Audiologist. It's pretty fancy. No idea what that means, but that's what she might be doing. So pay close attention.
Where? Purdue Fort Wayne.
Purdue Fort Wayne? All right. Allison, what are you going to do?
I'm going to take a year off to save money and then go to cosmetology school to become like an esthetician.
What could you do with this? Do you have any?
Not a lot.
Fair enough. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Super awesome. And then Caleb, what's going on?
I'm going to Ball State for astronomy and physics.
Not astrology, astronomy. Right, we had this conversation. And Nate?
I'm going to Ball State for jewelry making.
Jewelry making, all right. Do you get diamonds with that class, or is that... You have to bring your own diamonds, probably?
Yeah,
gotcha. All right, so why did I do this? Because here's the deal, guys. If you pay close attention, take a look at this. This is our future, but it's not just our future. Look at this. You have a driveway, right? Talking to Ty. Hey, Ty, come on over. Fix my driveway, right? You have hair and beauty needs. Allison is your gal. She's in your corner, right? You're staring at space. You have no idea what's going on. Caleb's your man, right? And fellas, don't forget, your wife needs some jewelry, right? Now, I have no idea what Mackenzie's going to do, but she's going to help you pay more attention, I think, with your ears, right? Yes, yes. It's an ear thing, but I don't listen well, Jamie says, so it's totally not a thing. So you guys are in this stage where there's all these open houses and there's all this pomp and circumstance. It's a little awkward, but it's a pretty awesome thing that you guys have accomplished, and we're really proud of you guys. And I didn't bring you up here to make fun of you. I really wanted to have some fun with you, because you guys are more fun than the old people sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Yep, they all nodded. I'm just throwing that out there. But at the end of the service, we're going to have you guys come back up with your families, and we're going to pray over you guys, okay? So no pressure. All you got to do is stand there. Would you give me a big round of applause for these awesome graduates and finishing high school people? Way to go. Way to go. Fantastic work. You guys can have a seat. Thank you so much. See, that wasn't even hardly painful at all. Unlike normal when I have you come up and help do something, right? Good stuff. So graduation Sunday is an awesome opportunity to talk about graduation stuff. And if you've been to a, how many of you guys have ever been to a high school graduation? I heard the groan. How many of you guys remember just some of the main points from the epic speeches that you heard? And the touching moments of, yeah, right? It's just wah, 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 wah. Now, I don't want you to equate that to a Sunday sermon, so we're not doing that joke. Nah, stop nodding your heads. But it can be a little bit, I don't know what the word is, but horribly boring sometimes. But everybody's trying to inspire you, right? You might even get a book like this, Wisdom for the Graduate. Anybody have a book like that? A book that, if you graduated high school, I promise you, somebody got you a book that said, wisdom for the graduate, graduate wisdom, wisdom for the next stage of life, blah, 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 blah. Some kind of like, you know, you probably didn't learn anything now, but this book will change your life, right? That's the goal when they give it to you. I'm not really sure why they give it to you. I'm not really sure what it is. But today I want to cheesily steal the title and play with that a minute. Wisdom for the graduate. I want to talk about that. And I'm going to change this because I know for most of our grads, I didn't ask them when they were up here, but that's cursive, so we're going to make this a little simpler so you can read it, because I know your generation can't quite figure it out. It's hard stuff. Some of the people at my school are like, teachers are all writing in code. No, it's cursive, but it starts with a C. Very, very fancy. But here's the crazy thing about this wisdom for graduates stuff I want to share with you. It's really not wisdom for graduates exclusively. It's also wisdom for people who are following Jesus, for Christians. So this morning, I want to steal this opportunity to share with you some wisdom for followers of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to even break it down further than that. I hope this doesn't diminish anybody in this group. But this is just straight up wisdom for humans, okay? There's nothing in here that doesn't apply to everybody and isn't a call to everybody. So maybe you're not a graduate. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. But if you're at least human, I have some stuff I want to share with you this morning that I think is really important that hopefully you'll lock into. So wisdom for graduates is what we'll call this, because then it sounds fancier. Well, if you've been to a speech about graduation or at a graduation where there's a speech, you've heard the path and the journey of your life and probably some poems and some rhymes and some eloquence that it just kind of makes you nauseous if I say about too much here, so I'm going to back off of it. But this idea of path and journey isn't a bad one, because quite honestly, Jesus used it. And probably used it because it made a lot of sense, right? That we're supposed to walk the narrow road and the path. And sometimes as we look at the life that we're going to live and walk out this path, like, we don't know what's over the hill. We don't know what's around the bend. We don't really know what's coming. Sometimes it's easy peasy cruising, nice slope. And other times it's grinding. And other times it's muddy and mucky. And sometimes it's hot and sweaty. And sometimes it's perfect and wonderful. But this journey of life is filled with all kinds of stuff. So if I could say one thing at a graduation, which I probably wouldn't because it'd sound boring there, but maybe it won't be as boring here. Wisdom for the graduate, wisdom for the follower of Jesus Christ, wisdom for the human on this journey of life that we're going to take together and that we're on together. Because I don't want to say it, like 18-year-olds and 17-year-old graduates, maybe 27-year-old graduates of high school, whatever you are. The reality is that you've been on a journey. You didn't all of a sudden decide, now I'm going to be a person making a journey, right? And wherever you're at in this journey of life, there's some really important wisdom that God challenges us with from his word. And I want to share that with you this morning. The first of just a few little nuggets of wisdom is this. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk in the fear of the Lord. On this journey that you're in, on this path that you're walking in life, walk in the fear of the Lord. Scripture tells us in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord. Now, this phrase is oftentimes misunderstood and kind of confusing. Fear the Lord. Are we supposed to be terrified, right? Well, it does. This word literally means dread and terror. It does. It's tied to this root, dread and terror. But in the context of Proverbs 1:7, it really leans more towards this idea of reverence and awe. That the reverence and awe of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But I'll be honest, if you're not following Jesus, the dread and terror of the Lord might not be a bad place to start. Not gonna lie. Because the reality is the consequences of eternal death and sin lead to eternal death and sin, right? Destruction, and man, it's bad. And so Scripture warns us, you know, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. That's no big deal. Be afraid of the one who can throw us after this death into the eternal lake of fire because of our sin. So maybe a little dread and a little terror of who the Lord is and the reality of our sin condition isn't a bad place to kind of start walking on, right? And be mindful of foundationally. But really this idea of reverence and awe for those who recognize who God is really important. And I love this scripture because the fear of the Lord is the what? The beginning of knowledge. It's just the tip of the iceberg. To understand who God is, to revere him, have a healthy respect for who he is, it's the starting point of the journey. It's not the destination, it's not the end, it's just where you get started. To know something and to understand and to have real wisdom begins with this principle, knowing who God is, and God being number one, sovereign Lord over all. And man, you guys live in a world where we don't like that and we're not about that, right? We despise wisdom and instruction from the Lord. We hate it. We lean on our own understanding, but I'm going to get to that. Pride gets in the way. We decide we are the ones who control our destiny. Our hopes, our dreams, our attitudes, our desires, our stuff we want drive us towards fulfillment in this life. And the truth is, that drives us towards destruction in this life. Submitting our lives to Christ, recognizing he's the Lord. I mean, he's put desires in our heart. He's given us hopes and dreams, talents and gifts, that when we submit and surrender those to him as Lord, and we walk that out, we can experience the fullness of what he's designed us to be. As young people who have different dreams and hopes and aspirations, God's planted some of that stuff in your heart to explore and to chase after, but always in the context of him being the Lord and God who reigns sovereign over your life, not your co-pilot buddy, I'll talk to you sometimes, advisor. He's God and he is Lord. And real wisdom and real knowledge and real understanding come when we live in that reality, and that is where we start to build a life of purpose and meaning and value. If that's not our foundation, we're gonna have trouble. We're gonna get in the way. The reverence and awe of the Lord is the beginning of what it looks like to have knowledge and wisdom. And we walk in the fear of the Lord. We walk in the reverence. We walk in the awe of who he is. And if you will do that, you will find all the dips and valleys and all the crazy things along the journey. Sometimes they make some sense and they're navigatable. You can navigate them real easy. Wish I'd graduated high school. I'm just kidding, I did. Barely, but I did. That's not true, right? Jamie would be like, stop making yourself out to be an idiot. The thing is, babe, a lot of people know that I'm kind of an idiot. Okay, sorry. See, you did it again. My bad. All right, I just like Jamie's looks. Sometimes I miss him, and so I got to say stuff just to see what happens. Okay, let me walk in the fear of Jamie by moving on to this next stage, which is to trust in the ways of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. How many of you guys have memorized this verse before? How many of you guys remember it? So don't look at the screen and try to say it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. Yeah, so try to say he will make straight your paths. I don't know why they had to change it in this translation just to mess with people who had this memorized forever, right? But some of these translations are like, yeah, we got to sell a different translation, so let's flip two words around, see what happens, right? I've been trying to say this week, and I can't do it. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. There we go. We got it out. Trust in the Lord. Have faith. Believe in his guidance and in his goodness. If you want to walk in a way that leads to life and not all kinds of destruction and messes and debris, trust in what he teaches us. Trust in his guidance. Trust in his ways. We lean on our own understanding, and all of our heart is what we're supposed to do. We lean on our understanding. This word lean is this idea of support, to undergird and to hold up. And it's a beautiful picture of what we do. We lean not on God's wisdom and on his truth, what he has revealed to us, but we lean on our own idea of what may work best in this situation. Or we lean on our buddy's opinion that seemed like a good idea at the time. Or we lean on what TikTok told us is a really great idea to do, right? We lean on all these other things instead of leaning, being supported by the wisdom and truth of God's word. And if you're going to walk this life and do it in a way that doesn't lead to destruction and pain and suffering, you got to lean on his truth, on his word, on what he has revealed to us. You and I live in this culture right now where sexual immorality is getting to be out of control, where we can't figure out what a gender is and we think it's some kind of man-made construct. Young people, you're going to go to colleges where they're going to tell you that all of these biological truths and these eternal truths rooted in the revelation of God are nonsense. But a world can't exist without truth. And a world can't exist that we're creating for ourselves. We are on a path, not a path like this one God's laid out for us, but a path that leads to destruction. Because we have turned away from the truth of God, and we've believed a lie. And we're chasing after the darkness instead of the light. And you can pretend like it's no big deal because it doesn't affect your bubble right now. But man, those bubbles are starting to get affected all over the place, aren't they? And we see it and we know it. People that we're working with, places where we're shopping, we're used to, whatever that looks like thing. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And before you think it's just altruistic, have you noticed this week all of the Pride Month stuff that's been out in America with all the advertising? But if you look at those same advertisers like, I don't know, BMW and some of the other ones in the Middle East, they've stayed constant. They don't do Pride Month. They don't put rainbows. They don't put anything out there at all. Why? Because they care about people who are transgender or homosexual? No, because they're just playing to whatever they can get away with and chasing the money. And they know in the Middle East, it doesn't work. And governments are standing against that. But in America, it's rampant and going like crazy. Now, I'm not trying to bash us as a people, but guys, we live in this world where we've accepted sin and we've accepted the lies of the enemy and our own understanding to make sense of things and say, well, this is okay when every man does what is right in his own eyes, Scripture tells us. And the truth is the timeless reality of God's wisdom and his revelation to us tells us about right and wrong. And Moses said to the Israelites, today I set before you two paths. One leads to life and blessing, and one leads to death. And if we're going to choose the one based on the world's ideas and the culture's ideas of what's right and wrong and okay, and disregard God's eternal word and law and truth that he's revealed to us, that path's going to lead to destruction. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Graduate, trust in the Lord. Christian, trust in the Lord. Human being, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, all of it, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I love this word, acknowledge. Let's focus in on that a second if I hit the right button. This word, acknowledge, is cool because do you see what's in the middle of it? This word, know. Do you know the word acknowledge means know at a root? In all your ways, know him. Know God. Know his ways. Know his heart. Know him. In all your ways, not acknowledge in the sense we think of like, reference God. In all your ways, reference God. It'll be great. Give God a token reference. That is not this word acknowledge. In all your ways, know him. That he is known in your life, that you're known to him, that he is known in everything that you do, and that you walk in the knowledge of who he is and what he says and what he calls us to in every circumstance and situation we walk in. Know God. Know him. In all your ways, know him. And if you trust in his ways, and if you don't lean on your own great wisdom and understanding and perspective, but instead know him in all your ways, he will make your path straight, straight your paths. He will lead you to life everlasting and abundant life and life with meaning and purpose. It's a billion lame speeches this weekend about purpose and meaning and value. This is the one that matters, God's word to us about aligning ourselves, knowing him, and walking in his ways. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Trust the ways of the Lord. And here's what's cool. We can seek the counsel of the Lord. Check out this verse. In James it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach, and it'll be given to him. I love this concept. Ask God, it will be given. Kind of cool. Now, this doesn't say ask God for a Lamborghini at graduation, right? And it will be given to you. I wish it did. Kind of fun. Not going to lie. Get to school a lot quicker some days. But we can ask God for wisdom, and we should ask God for wisdom, and God wants to give us wisdom. Here's the problem. We face situations and we lean on whose understanding? Our own. And we lean on our buddy's understanding or somebody else we talked to who had a sister who had a situation. And we're like, that's what I should do, right? And then at the last possible minute, we're like, all right, well, I guess I better just pray. Instead of what should we have done at the very beginning? Pray. Seek the counsel of God. Seek his wisdom. Seek his understanding. He wants to give it to you. He's not up there like, ask again. I'm just kidding. I'll do it this time, right? He's not the dad who keeps pulling away from the car, right? When you're trying to grab the door handle and you're like, God, give me wisdom. Okay, he's going to do it. Right? No, he's not doing that to us at all. He's like, hey, I want you to walk in truth and understanding and wisdom. And if we ask him genuinely, now I don't mean like this, God, what should I do? All right, guess I'll do whatever I want, right? That's not really asking God, right? We come before him and we seek his counsel. We pursue his counsel. We stay present awaiting his counsel. And when we receive his counsel, we act, right? A little more effort than just, God didn't send me a note to say what to do, so I guess he doesn't care. I can do whatever I want. It's not really how it works. But when we genuinely seek him, we will find him if we seek him with all our heart, Scripture tells us. And that gift of wisdom and understanding will be ours. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Trust in the ways of the Lord. Seek the counsel of the Lord. Three principles to build a life on that works. And let me just throw one little one in here too. Do what he says. Do what he says. You know that Jesus tells this story about the man who builds his house on the rock, right? And this little reference to it here, that everyone who takes the words that Jesus says and does something with them is like the man who builds his house on the rock. A lot of people listen to the words of God. A lot of people hear words of God. A lot of people hear the truth of God. But it's not enough to hear it. We have to do what it says. We have to follow his counsel, right? We can seek his counsel, but if we don't follow his counsel, then what was the point of seeking his counsel, right? So if we're going to navigate this crazy life around us And guys, this life around us has gotten a lot crazier than it used to be. We're going to have to walk in the reverence and awe of the Lord. That means that when the culture around you says, hey, you're a bigot, or hey, that's not loving and you don't understand and you're a hater or whatever that is, we got to weigh in the balance. Is God going to be revered and awed in my life, or is the power and the voices of the culture going to take its place? Who gets first place, right? And as we do that, making the decision to follow him in his ways, we have to do this active thing where we keep ignoring and pushing aside our own attitudes, our own understanding, the counsel of man versus listening to the counsel of God. And sometimes we don't know what that is, and so we seek and we pray. Tonight at this men's thing, we're going to talk together a little bit about what this looks like to walk it out a little bit together in community. We need each other. Last week at the race stuff, we talked about pit crews, and we need a pit crew to do life with sometimes, to be able to help us walk things out and to bounce off thoughts. That's not the counsel of man. That's trying to discern with godly counsel, the counsel that God reveals to us, sometimes using each other in that process, right? And as we understand those things, we've got to be obedient. We've got to do then the hard things that he says we got to do. Because if we don't, what a waste of time. We're just out for a walk, right? And that walk leads to destruction. All right, well, I'm going to have our grads come back up really quick. So if you guys want to sneak up this direction, we'll just spot you around here. And parents, if you want to come with them, you can stand right by them like you're proud of them. It's supposed to be a joke, but if you're not proud of them, that's cool too, I guess. Didn't mean for that to get awkward. That was, when your parents just won't come, it's just a thing. We'll stay down here. You guys don't get the platform this time, man. That way people can gather around you. But I like the passion, man. I'm trying to take my job. I see what this is. Asphalt is the first step. I got you. All right. So there's a little scripture I want to share with you that's kind of a prayer from Philippians 1, 9 through 10. Paul says this: it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. And that's my prayer for all of these graduates. It's my prayer for everybody in my family, in this church family of ours, everybody I know, that we would love more and more the way God has revealed to us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to walk in righteousness, and that we would grow in knowledge, knowing God, and discerning right from wrong and truth from lies, so that we can walk in a way that is approved by God and excellent before him, and ultimately reach a destination of eternal life and hope and joy. So that's my prayer over you guys. It's my prayer for all of us, to be honest. And we're going to take a moment together as a church and kind of pray a little prayer of blessing over you guys as you take this next step from being just high school kids to being super mature young adults, or some translation there somewhere. There's a little bit of time, Don't have too much pressure. Hey, church family, would you gather around these folks, and we're going to lay hands on them and pray over them together as a big group, and then we'll slip out of here to maybe have a graduation party to get to this afternoon, but hopefully you make it back tonight for some fun, fellas, and some important stuff, and we'll gather around here and honor these folks for their big-time achievement. We are legit proud of you guys for all that you've done and excited about all that God has in store in the future for what this is all going to look like. And I say this to a lot of young graduates, but I believe it about this group, just so you know. I don't believe it before, but here's the deal. I think eternity is going to look different because you guys are here, and the impact for the kingdom of God in this world around us that you're going to have, I think, is huge. And I think eternity is going to look different. And we're praying for that. Thanks for encouraging us as your church family. And let's take a minute here and pray over you guys together. Father, thank you so very much for these young people. Thank you for their encouragement to us. Thank you for the ways that they have challenged and inspired and maybe even sometimes convicted us in ways to be better and to be sharper and to be more engaged or on the path or walking in your ways. It's a gift, Lord, when young people walk uprightly before you as a light to everybody around them. Father, I want to pray, and together we ask for your protection that you would guard the hearts and minds in Christ Jesus of all these young people. Lord, you know that the period of time they've just walked out of, the things that you've poured into them, the truth, the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom, Lord, they're going to need all of it to navigate this world around them. It's a scary place sometimes, but it's an incredible place when we're walking with you and in your ways. Lord, there is great adventure ahead. There is great opportunity and abundant life. And Father, I pray that you would guard them and protect them, and that you would lead them in paths of righteousness, that you would help them not to veer from the path, and anytime they stumble along the way, that your Holy Spirit would lift them up. Lord, I pray you would send people around them who will encourage them and inspire them and challenge them and sharpen them to be faithful as they chase after you. And Lord, I pray that eternity will look different because of these young people and all that they're going to do as followers of Jesus Christ. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, the great King over all, God, you are sovereign and you reign in their lives and in this world around us. We pray a blessing and we commission them into this world to go as your servants, impacting the world around them. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.